Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I am so glad you're with us today. It's Friday. Fridays are always good days. Let's transition from getting here to being here. Transition from getting here to being here. Thank you for listening in. If you'll just knock out and ignore all of the noise and cacophony around you and all the thoughts ping-ponging around and all the distractions, and listen in for what God is going to say to your heart today, because He will speak to you either through my words or certainly through His Spirit moving in you. And I want to talk about, as we start a new year, what really matters. What really matters? And my key word for January is focus. And I guess you could say focus on what really matters. And we'll get that discussion in just a moment. Let me first remind you that 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. You can go to our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. We have got a lot of different things on that website that you can access. You can get past radio shows. You can see some different podcasts that we have. We've got exercises on it, 721ministries.org. And we have a sister website, puttinggreenblog.com. puttinggreenblog.com. And on that website, we've got the devotions that we write each week that we call Putting Greens. We've got two Putting Green devotional books, Volume 1 and Volume 2, have been very, 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 very successfully received. And I would encourage you to go and take a look at that and consider buying those for yourself and for other people. They make great gifts. 721ministries.org, puttinggreenblog.com. And let me just also remind you that John Judy at Touchpoint Energized Communications does our website work. John Judy at Touchpoint Energized Communications does a great job. Very creative, very focused, very competent. His number is 864-363-5982. That's 864-363-5982. John Judy at Touchpoint Energized Communications does such a great job with our website, does it for free for us as part of his contribution to our ministry. You'll love him. He does a great job. Give him a call. He can really bring your website to life. Okay, what really matters? Focus. Well, let me just start with this thought. We often hear people say, you've probably said it, I'm sure you've heard people say it, a lot of people say it in jest. Sometimes I think they might not really be saying it in jest. Something like this: the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is ask God, and then you fill in the blank. Whatever their number one question is, whatever the thing that they've been wondering about, they've been confused about, that they don't like, whatever it is, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is ask God, fill in the blank. Perhaps they haven't paid attention to Scripture. I'm going to read Mark's words as he received from Peter, as Peter tried to describe Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Can you imagine that? I mean, here's Mark struggling to find the words that he got from Peter as to what Jesus looked like. Dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach them in the world. Or perhaps John's encounter with Jesus at Revelation 1, when he was out on the Isle of Patmos. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. Just stop for a minute. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. If you've ever stood next to a rushing river, you cannot hear yourself think. You cannot have a conversation with the person standing next to you. Imagine his voice sounding like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance, the sun, overwhelming brightness. And then John says, and when I saw him, I said, Jesus, I've got some questions that I want to ask you. I've been thinking about some things since you left, and I'd like to get them straightened. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I fell at his feet as though dead. You see, when I read about the reaction of men of the Bible as they encounter the glorified Jesus. Now, I say the glorified Jesus, perhaps I should just say as they encounter Jesus as his natural self, as who he really is, as what he really would look like if you'd had an encounter with him. Not the fully human, fully divine Jesus, fully human, but Jesus. But when I read about these encounters, I deduce two things. The first is that no one, and I mean no one, is going to be standing up asking God Almighty anything. There will be instead much falling down and prostrating. I can assure you that. Some will be falling down in worship. Many will be falling down in worry. And the second thing that I deduce is that none of this world, this culture, the busyness and distractions, achievements and accomplishments, none of this, all of this stuff that surrounds us, all of this stuff that we obsess over, that we become distracted by, it's not going to matter. Not one bit. Not at all. So when we think about this question, what really matters, the starting point is, what doesn't really matter? Let's not focus on that. The Holy Spirit, through Paul in Philippians 2, verse 10 says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm telling you, none of us will be acknowledging anything about this world when we encounter Jesus, this culture, or the cacophony of amusements and addictions and noisy distractions with which we are all so consumed each day. It won't matter then. So why should it matter so much now? What really matters? When we stand face to face with God, the only thing that's going to matter is trust. God is going to ask you, you're going to have a conversation with God Almighty, did you trust me? Because Jesus says at the end of his parable about the unjust judge and the widow, which we'll come back to later, he concludes with this, when the Son of Man comes, will he find trust on this earth? When the Son of Man comes in all of his brilliance, with his voice sounding like a rushing river and his eyes looking like blazing fire and his feet glowing like bronze on fire, the only thing that he's going to be looking for is, did you trust me? The Holy Spirit, through Paul in Galatians 5:6, the only thing that counts is faith, trust, expressing itself through love. The question is going to be, did you trust me for your salvation? Did you trust me in the details of your life? Did you trust me for your salvation? Not that you were a really nice, likable, sincere person. And did you trust me in the details of your life? Not that you say you trust me, but you actually lived that out. Imagine, really, I want you just to stop for a moment. Just think, what would you look like? What would your life look like if you actually did act and live trusting your Heavenly Father in the details of your life? What would it look like? What would you look like? Just paint what's a word picture for that? What's one word or two words that might come to your mind if you really did trust him in the details? Now, we could talk, and we will talk a lot about what that would look like, but what's one word? And the word that jumps out at me is relaxed. Relaxed. As Oswald Chambers would say, a calm, balanced, relaxed pace. A calm, balanced, relaxed pace that should be characteristic of the children of God. So, as we start this new year, I want you to think for a moment, and this is what I did with the men in our men's groups. I said, take 2 minutes and write down one, two, or three things that are distracting you, causing you anxiety, causing you irritation, or on your to-do list that seem daunting. Just write down one, two, three of those things. Just jot them down real quickly. Things that are irritating you, things that are distracting you, things that are giving you anxiety, things that are on your to-do list. And then when you get that list, Let's just go back to that Revelation passage. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Ezekiel, in his chapter 43, verse 1, says, "Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters." There it comes again. And the land was radiant with his glory. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when he came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kabar River, and I fell face down. Daniel, in Daniel 10, says, "Oh my gosh, I looked up and there was a man, a belt of fine gold around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches. And when I heard him speaking, I fell my face to the ground." So when you think about what it's going to be like when you encounter Jesus, and you look at that list that you have right now, I think we can agree that your list is not going to matter. That it is not going to be something that you're going to hold up and want to discuss with Jesus. As a matter of fact, the only discussion that's going to be is Jesus saying, I know you had that list. I was right with you when you made that list. Why didn't you trust me? Why didn't you turn that list over to me? Those things don't matter now. All that really matters is, did you trust me? So your list of irritations and anxieties and aggravations and your to-do list. See, there's a lot of things I don't know. A lot of things I don't know about what it's going to be like to stand before Jesus. A lot of things I don't know about that moment, that judgment moment. What I do know, what is plain to see, is that all this stuff that I allow to distract me and to discourage me, to disturb me, to get me off track, all these things, they're not going to matter. So in the second half of this show, let's talk about what will matter, what really will matter. I'm Sam Hunter. This is 721 Live. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the second half of 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I am glad that you're with us. We are starting off this new year talking about what really matters. And my key word for January is focus, because I want to focus on what really matters. And I'm like you. I get distracted. I get caught up in things that irritate me. I get caught up in things that aggravate me. I get caught up in people that irritate me and aggravate me. I get caught up in my to-do list. But does it really matter? Is it worth having all that anxiety? Is it worth expending all that energy? I have had conversations with older men. At my age, in my early 60s, I can understand this already. Looking back over my life, I can see so many instances where I say, I wish I hadn't invested so much energy, typically negative energy, in that issue. And if you were sitting down, you're a little bit older, and you sit down with a younger person who's in your same profession, or a younger person who started out in their business world, or in whatever career, or you're a mother, and you sit down with a younger mother, and you see them worried and full of anxiety and grinding over these issues and harried and hurried, you would say to them, slow down. Relax. It's going to be okay. Your Heavenly Father is going to work through your life. Relax. Enjoy this time. Focus on what's most important, what really matters. You know, when we're talking with the men, and we talk about the promises and the assurances, and we went through Psalm 23, and then we went through the parable that Jesus gives about Luke 18 and the unjust judge and the widow. And we talked about what the central message is to us. Let's just do that together now. I'll read Psalm 23. I know it's very familiar. But what I want you to ask yourself is, what is the message here? What is the central theme, the promise, the guarantee? I'll start with Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. That is the best translation. Those that say, I shall not want, I like that, because to me that's a natural result of the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. So there's nothing that I want. There's nothing that I think I need or got to have. The Lord is my shepherd. What was David's job when he first met God, when he first encountered Samuel and was anointed and started getting involved with Saul? He was a shepherd. Later in this, over these next few weeks and months, we're going to talk a lot more about shepherding. That God is our shepherd. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd. And then you as a shepherd to the people around you. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley and all the things I had on my list, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That is all shepherd talk, shepherd terms. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Can we stop there for a moment? Can I ask you to actually, I would encourage you to draw out a picture of what that would look like. Here's David. His enemies are out in front of him. They're in his presence. But between David and his enemies is a table. It's not a wall. It's a table with a feast on it, a banquet. That is what in this language you prepare a table for me. There's a meal. God is saying through David, not only will I protect you from your enemies, not only will I work good out of everything your enemies are trying to do to you, I'm going to fix you a banquet in the midst of all this. We're not just going to barely get by. We're not just going to barely resolve this issue and by the skin of our teeth and get on to the next thing. No. I'm going to prepare a table, a lush, lavish banquet for you with your enemies watching. That's how impotent they are going to be. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life as I walk on this earth. That's a fact. That's a certainty. And in addition to that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So picture this, will you? Will you try to put into words what the message is here? What is the promise? What is the guarantee? Let's keep going. Luke 18:6. This is Jesus' conclusion to the parable of the unjust judge and the widow, which I will come back to in just a moment. But this is his conclusion. And the Lord said, listen to what this unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. Take Luke 18, and let's take Psalm 23. What is the message? What is the theme? What is the guarantee? I got you, God says. I'm with you. I'm going to take care of you. You will get justice. I will bring good out of every situation. And I'll do it quickly. He's already at work in whatever issues you have on that list that you made earlier. Those 1, 2, 3, 4 things that are aggravating you, irritating you, causing you anxiety, or on your to-do list that seem a little overwhelming. He's already moving in that quickly. As time unfolds in his perfect timing, you'll see his movement. But the promise here is he's already doing it. He's my shepherd. I lack nothing. He is taking care of me. That is the central message. And Jesus then concludes that parable with this. However means he's taking a little different turn. However, and I'll fill in Jesus saying, however, now I've just told you that we will take care of you. And I might add, for the umpteenth time, I've told you that we will take care of you, that we love you, that we will bring good out of everything that's going on with you. You will get justice and you will get it quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes with lightning, with incredible, awesome sounds of rushing waters, when the Son of Man comes with blazing fire in his eyes, all I'm asking is, did you trust me on this earth? Did you trust me? Because that's what I want for you. I want you to trust me in the details so that you can live a calm, relaxed pace in your day-to-day life. Calm, balanced, relaxed. You have a pace. You are accomplishing things. We are not advocating you sit in a closet and pray and that God's going to take care of all the details of your life. No, we're asking that you bring Him in to the details of your life and release the anxiety and the aggravation. What really matters? What really matters to your Heavenly Father is that you trust Him. And why would that matter so much to Him? Because that's the life He wants for you. He knows you can trust Him. He wants you to live that way. Now, the parable that in Luke 18 of the unjust judge is misconstrued way too often. We just read Jesus' conclusion. What He does is He sets up a very typical rabbinic teaching method called the going from lesser to greater. And the lesser is a normal, corrupt judge, a normal human being who is a corrupt judge, who won't do anything right, contrasted with a Heavenly Father that will make sure you get justice and justice quickly, that He will take care of you. That's the lesser to more, lesser to greater rabbinic teaching technique in this parable. Let's go back and look at the way He sets it up. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Not give up what? Not give up confident expectation that your Heavenly Father is your shepherd and I lack nothing and He will take care of me. Then Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray, and pray meaning much, much, much more than asking out of anxiety for Him to help you or save you or take care of some situation. No, a continuous day-to-day walk, a conversational walk through life, talking with God about what we are doing together. So He tells them this parable. In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to Him with the plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." And for some time He refused, this judge. But finally He said to Himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and wear me out." Well, the message I've heard many times is that Jesus is saying, you keep praying to God until your prayers are answered. You wear Him down. You show Him how serious you are about your prayers. You keep banging on Him, and He will relent and answer your prayers. Just show Him how serious you are about it. Don't give up banging on Him, banging on that door, relenting so until He finally says, I'll do it. Do you want that kind of God? No. The story here is the contrast between an unjust, corrupt judge and your Heavenly Father who loves you perfectly. You don't even need to bang on Him. You don't even need to keep badgering Him. He knew it before you ever asked Him. Just talk with Him about it and share it with Him. What He really wants for you is that you trust Him. Because if you trust Him, you will live a calm, balanced, relaxed pace. If you will actually believe that He means it when He says, "We're going to take care of you." That He means it when He says, "I am the good shepherd." That He means it as fact when He says, "Your Heavenly Father will see that you get justice and quickly." None of this stuff that you're worried about today is going to matter. None of the things that you are obsessing over, none of the things that are distracting you, none of the things that are discouraging you, none of the things that are out there on your to-do list. And trust me, I have a to-do list. There are several things that I have to listen to my own language, that will take place over the next 8 weeks in my life. I have a daughter getting married. I have a mother going to a nursing home. All these things have to take place in the next 2 months of my life, and a lot of it's going to come back to me, and I got my list. And I'm going to do my best, but what I'm going to do my best is to do my best and then leave the outcome to my Heavenly Father. relaxed, calm, balanced pace. This new year, may you seek to trust Jesus for your salvation, but mainly in the details of your life, so that you will be calm and relaxed. It will be the only thing that will matter. I'm Sam Hunter, and this is 721 Live. So long, God's peace to you. I hope to see you next Friday.